All right, now, we'll go with no intro music today. How about that?
Is that okay?
We're off to a good start, boys. Yes. Strap in, it's going to be a long one. Oh, man. All right, no intro music. That threw me off. Well, talking about practice, your only professional sports talk radio show here in Chico. We got a big show for you guys. Obviously, UNC Zags tonight. We'll get into that game. The UConn women finally lose after 111 straight. We'll get into the MVP race. KD's coming back. Speaking of back, baseball's back. As you just heard, we're going to get into some grinds my gears. But I think we should start with this. I don't know. Where should we start, actually? I usually know where exactly I want to come in. I don't really care today. It's warm out. It's nice.
That's solid, man. This is beautiful stuff right now we're going through. I hope everyone is enjoying it thoroughly. I think we should start with the Warriors right now, you know? That was fun game yesterday that happened.
We'll start with the Golden State Warriors. Before we do that, maybe I should introduce you guys. That would be helpful.
That would be crucial, yeah. Actually.
Derek Isamaki was that deep, succulent voice you heard there. Hi, Derek.
Hi.
We have John Lucan, our producer in training.
What up?
And then we have local funny man, comedian, TJ Hudson.
Hey,
bud. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Actually, no, I'm not doing great. The start of this show has been rough.
But yeah, we got here early to set up, and you... Okay.
What do you want me to do?
I'm not complaining. No, I'm not. Song, I'm not. You know?
We'd see that coming when he said it was April 4th.
Today. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when I didn't know what day it was, that was a sure indication that we are in for a long one. Thank God TJ's here. Like I said, comedian. We'll get into some of the stuff you have going on around town. But want to get your guys' take. We'll start. Where do you want to start? The MVP race?
Yeah, let's start with the MVP race. All right. There we go. Yeah, we have a lot to say. Okay. Wait, what? Did we say?
Do we?
No, that's fine. Okay. that's
fine. You guys have notes. I don't. Like, I'm going to create my opinions right now. Okay. I'm going to form them.
Okay.
You know what would be great, actually, TJ, if you could just have really strong opinions, convictions, and I don't care if you believe them or not, okay? I want you to sell us
on your
beliefs.
I don't care if you believe them or not.
Perfect.
One side or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a great MVP race. NBA season's coming to an end here. Russell Westbrook, 40 triple-doubles so far this season. James Harden is right there with him as far as all the talk as far as who may be the MVP. And so, Derek, we were arguing about this. Well, I guess we were kind of agreeing very aggressively over the weekend about this.
How in the right mind of people in the NBA could they not give Russell Westbrook the MVP?
Exactly.
The guy is giving a triple-double. What more do you want from the man? Like, you cannot do really much else, I feel.
Anything that has, like, a record broken since, like, the 1950s or something, it's like, that has to be MVP.
He's going to be Oscar Robertson's record of 41 triple-doubles.
Hopefully. Don't jinx it.
Yeah, he's got six games to do it in. I believe he should.
I mean, he could potentially... I mean, I wouldn't say shatter with six games left, but he could potentially, you know, run away with that.
I mean, the guy's consistent. He's averaging a triple-double. Like, no doubt, Harden's having a nice year. The Rockets have turned around greatly what they've done over there. But, I mean, if you're just... everyone's like saying, it's not a numbers league, but everything depends on the numbers. It's like...
But how do you define your MVP is what you really have to ask.
No, truly.
Because,
I mean, how
about you? look at what Harden said and say, you know, what he's doing for his team. His team's, you know, in a better position, you know, in the three spot in the West right now.
No doubt. And, like, I guess, like, people like to hold that, you know, on people who are on a losing team, even though they're a great player. Granted, I'm going to say Oklahoma's a losing team. They're just in a lesser position in the playoff race right now. They're, like, the sixth seed or something right now, I want to say.
Right.
And Houston's third. So I just feel like, yeah, that's got to be something. But Westbrook, what he's doing day in and day out to average a triple-double in a season, I don't know. I just don't know what more do you want from a man.
I feel like either way, if you take Harden or Westbrook away from their teams, both teams are going to dramatically drop off.
Oh, they're gone, yeah.
But I think in the sense of Westbrook, that team maybe wins 5-6 games this year.
They would,
you know, without Westbrook.
Without him, yeah.
Harden, I feel like they can get by, you know, obviously not as well, but a little bit better.
A better supporting cast, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the difference in the standings isn't that drastic when you think about it. I mean, I do think that I agree with you. Definitely Harden has the better supporting cast.
Yeah, and that definitely helps him when he has the supporting cast definitely is a big... issue right now. So, yeah. Sorry, I just got a little sidetracked there. Like I said, I just don't feel... Granted, Kawhi Leonard's been doing great things on the defensive end. That's a lot of people are throwing his name in there. He's a two-sided player. Westbrook plays his defense out there. He's a solid defender, on-ball defender and whatever. Athletic guy. But
he also turns it over 15 times a game.
Yeah, but he has the ball in his hand 100 times a game. You know, it's always in his hand, you know?
Well, and people forget MVP is most valuable player.
Yeah, true.
I mean, pure and simple, most valuable player. And the way Westbrook's playing right now, it's hard to – everybody, you know, it's a tough one. Everybody says it's debatable this year. I don't think it's even that hard of a decision, to be honest with you. You think about the most valuable player, it's the dude averaging a triple-double.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah, I mean – it's just I feel like if to give it to Harden, he's had a great season. Props to him, what he's been doing, and to D'Antoni, and he's had his fair share of triple doubles as well. But yeah, the Oklahoma City would be lost without Westbrook. I mean,
hold on. Shout out to the guy who just called in to remind us that the NCAA tournament was on tonight. I was completely unaware. Did you guys know?
Yeah,
USC Gonzaga. There's a national championship game.
Yeah,
are you really this far behind right now?
Are you guys really taking me serious?
No, I didn't at all. I didn't at all. I was like, come on, guys, get with it.
I just thought, ever since your April 4th date, man, I just feel like you're off today, so I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, no intro. I didn't know what was going on right here.
No, I had no idea that game was on. Thank God he reminded us, because I think we all would have missed it, so.
It starts at 6:20, I think.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. So right as the show ends, it's perfect timing for us, you know? Yeah, you guys can still listen and get your college championship game in there.
Yeah. So we're good.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that, let's transition to that championship game, shall we?
Sure. UNC's a one-point favorite. Thoughts?
Are they?
Yeah.
1 point? Yeah.
1 point.
It went down to one.
I feel like it's going to be a really low-scoring game, you know, with Gonzaga's defense. They're going to have to really play slow possession basketball, I feel like, for North Carolina. They can't, you know, get out and run it like they usually do.
The teams are kind of, like, very similar, I feel. You know, they kind of got some senior, you know, guys have been there for a little while. They've got some seniors, big dudes as well, you know.
Yeah, I think it's really going to be interesting because you have two sides of the story. You have UNC, either way, whatever team loses is going to be a really bummer for those programs. You have UNC that's coming back from losing in that dramatic fashion last year at the buzzer beater against Villanova. And then Gonzaga, who's coming from a conference that hasn't done it since 56 or something like that with Bill Russell, you know, at University of San Francisco. So they're kind of in unproven ground right now, and it's kind of seen for Mark Few if he can get over that national championship hump. So I got UNC, though.
Did you know Mark Few doesn't have eyebrows?
What?
That's what his name says, or very few eyebrows on his, you know, hairs on his eyebrows.
What?
That was terrible.
leave it to TJ for those.
Let's leave it to the comedian.
But no, yeah, he doesn't
handle the jokes.
I'm not
thank
touching
you.
That
I'll go there though.
I don't know. I was really hoping to. I don't know. I don't enjoy the way Gonzaga plays that much. So I guess UNC for me. I like that Justin Jackson gets up and down the court and kind of opens it up with the three. But yeah, I mean, I would take UNC, but I don't really care.
What?
I really don't.
This
tournament has been, in my lifetime, probably the least memorable one for me.
See, I feel like it's almost opposite, where you have different programs that are, you know, Oregon, you have the South Carolina, you have those that have never really to these points. I mean, I guess you have that every year with certain, you know, low-seeded teams, George Mason and those back in those days.
Sure, Butler.
Yeah, right, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, you're getting to see these programs. You don't have the traditional. I mean, Syracuse didn't even make the tournament this year.
Right.
You know what I mean? When's the last time we've seen that? So I just think it's interesting to see all these kind of not young programs. Obviously, they're big-time programs, but coming into the forefront of basketball.
I think that's why I'm, like, pulling for the Zags tonight, too. It's just, I mean, who cares? I'm over the Tar Heels, you know what I mean? North Carolina, we've been hearing about them, you know, as long as I can remember. So Gonzaga, their first national championship in school history.
Like, yeah, it's a big deal.
I say go Gonzaga.
All right.
I'm for that, too. I'm the same boat, I guess.
You look like you would go to Gonzaga.
You do have a Gonzaga look about you.
Duke didn't call. I'm going to Gonzaga.
All right, well, mister, I hope you enjoyed that breakdown of the game that hasn't been played yet. I don't know. Anything else about the national championship game?
How about the female tournament, man?
Yeah, I mentioned at the top of the show, UConn finally lost.
That was crazy.
That was crazy. Mississippi State with the game winner, buzzer beater.
Is that double overtime?
It was just overtime. Yeah.
Man.
I love Gino Auriemma's face after she hit that buzzer beater. Yeah. He just kind of smiled about it. Looked a little bit in disbelief, but not too...
I mean, it had to end at some point.
He looked like a poker pro, like on the last day of the World Series of Poker, just gets like that river card, you know? Yeah. He just kind of smiles, you know? You can tell he wants to punch someone, but he's just smiling.
Right.
Grin and bear it.
But this brings up... this is an appropriate time to go here, but Gino Auriemma's place as far as like legacy regarding head coaches, it's really difficult. When we talk about greatest head coaches of all time, we tend to just speak about men's basketball, and then we put Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma in a different like.
His major ranks into that like list, but it's just like at the bottom of it. But definitely, I mean, when
coaching like the hybrid,
yeah.
It's almost a knock against them, and I don't see why that is. Because I do. I think
if anything, it's tougher what they've done. We've talked about it. There's a small talent pool for them to choose from because not many females are playing basketball or trying to go basketball into the college level. So to be able to collect a team and have a consistent winning record all the time.
Yeah, 111 games. That's like 4 years.
That being said, you know, like a smaller talent pool. But I mean, you know, maybe that there's a little something to do with that, with UConn being able to recruit all the best.
I mean, it's become synonymous with women's basketball
right
now.
But it's almost like a monopoly they've got on the sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And good on them. They developed a brand.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that's got to start someplace. You got the first like person to get there to get you that championship, and you kept doing it. Like, hey, this is what I've done. There's something going on. You're not just like, oh, just because we're winning. There's got to be something else on there. Like, that coach is, you know, just because it's a winning place, if I don't like the guy, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, and he's getting these kids to buy in and play.
Yeah, no doubt. And like all those girls seem to love that place. They have still a strong attachment to that university. You see all of the ex-players come into the games many times for them. Yeah. And I mean, so right on to Gino. I mean, you have to kind of give him that ring and Pat for obviously what they did because...
Oh, yeah, 11 national championships?
I mean, 111 straight games without a loss.
That's insane.
I'll put money right now today that... they win it next year.
You saw that in the women's national championship game. You know, like Mississippi, South Carolina. I mean, hats off to South Carolina for winning their first ever.
I was, it's got to suck for Mississippi State. Like, you go from like, oh my gosh, you just beat UConn to, oh, we just lost
another
championship.
It's like right. That was, you know, their championship.
That was their championship.
How do you get over a game
I mean, yeah, you don't get the hardware and the rings and the, you know, the banner to hang, but you beat the best team in women's college basketball that year.
How stoked is South Carolina sitting at home watching Mississippi State win? You know, like, thanks, guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. That's a great point there.
We got a shot at
thing. Now we can win it. Yes. Yeah. All right.
No, you know what? I think for them, this game is going to be more memorable beating UConn than really if they had just won the championship, even though, you know, technically.
Right, you don't think it would be more memorable to beat UConn and then to go on to win the championship?
I'm saying if you have an either-or situation.
Okay, all right.
If you could take one or the other, I don't know how many teams would just... I think the obvious answer is, say, take the championship, right? But I think the team that's going to be more memorable is this team for beating UConn, as opposed to if UConn...
You're right, yeah.
Let's face it, like, who was actually watching the women's national championship game
now
UConn wasn't even out?
Years from now, we'll remember that Mississippi State beat UConn, but we won't remember which... Team won
the national championship.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the only reason why they didn't lose that, they lost the game, is they probably were just
going to be the national championship. North Dakota State? Who ended up winning it?
South Carolina.
Okay. Sorry.
No, you're good.
No, like I said, the joke was perfect right there.
Yeah.
Even though you did say it like a minute before. But okay.
I was spitballing there, man. I was right the first time?
No, you were...
So, congrats to South Carolina. Again, you know, we totally forgot that the national championship was tonight. So, once again, thanks to that guy who called in. What do you think's going on there? I'm just wondering, when you're getting your free entertainment and you feel the need to call and remind someone I want you to talk about something, what's going on with that guy?
It's like mail time on PTI, you know what I mean? Like, he enjoys the show and he's...
He wants to make sure we go in the right direction, you know?
I appreciate it.
But they better know that the game's on tonight.
Well, maybe it was because we were starting out and we didn't know what we wanted to start with.
We thought it was April 4th.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, we were like, what should
we
start
with?
We
didn't have any intro music right now.
So he instantly got on. Yeah.
Like, you know what? He was actually trying to guide the ship. So, sir, I apologize.
Yeah, you're going way aggressive on this guy.
You guys told me we couldn't even call. Like, how did that...
We called into the station.
He was persistent. Yeah. Oh, okay. He's like, I'm going to get these guys.
Yeah,
they need to know.
You can't call.
I can't call.
No. Yeah.
You can't
call.
He said he does not care about James Harden supporting cast, and I really can't blame him. That conversation was trash. I did want to get to something real quick going back to that MVP race. So in 1961-62, so now we're becoming real topical. That's the year that Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double, and he came in third in the MVP race. First was Bill Russell, and second was Wilt Chamberlain, and Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50.5 points that season.
Oh, didn't he have like 20 rebounds too or something? Or
15 and 24.
Holy cow.
I mean, what was...
Yeah.
And Bill Russell That's won the rough. MVP, you were saying, that year?
Bill Russell was 24-19.
Was he playing Mississippi State the whole year?
I mean, that's... just
back
in
that time, it pretty much was.
It's a callback.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you put in perspective like that, that's just... I mean, God, those are insane numbers. I was looking at that the other day because I heard someone say it, and I was like, wait a second, that can't be right. He couldn't have finished in third. Big O couldn't have finished in third. And then when I heard the stats of the guys above him, I was like, oh, my God. So just shout out to 1961 and 62 and that MVP race, huh?
So you're saying Westbrook's not going to get it then?
Well, no, nobody's outstatting him.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? If we're looking at the stats, nobody's averaging 50 right now.
No.
Dude, if 24, doing this, yeah, right? 50 and 24, like... Just give him the championship, man. Like, just to himself.
I just don't understand how you average 50 and you end up in second. That's. And, oh, the more incredible thing I'm looking here, he averaged 48 and a half minutes. Aren't there only 48 in a game? So he just played every game and then some?
And every overtime
of every bunch of overtime games?
Yeah. Six overtime games in the season and gives him an extra 30 seconds.
Yeah, right.
That's just crazy. What was going on in basketball?
Like how would you? Someone was crunching these numbers, or someone was fudging the books.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'm starting to question the whole enterprise.
Like,
now.
Can you have a list of like the most average minutes played? Like the a list of who is up there, and we have like someone's like 50 minutes or something. You know,
you mean most minutes averaged in a season?
Yeah.
I mean, I got to imagine it's Wilt Chamberlain.
Someone's just in the Elias Sportsbook, just like...
No, I was like...
48 and a half.
These guys.
Someone's going to trip on this.
A little inside joke for all the statisticians out there.
Right as he gave us 2 weeks, he's like, 0.5.
Oh, yeah, the old...
that's a reasonable conclusion there, fudging the numbers back then.
Speaking of a lot of minutes, LeBron played 56 last night.
Why?
Well, they had an overtime.
Yeah,
double overtime.
Double
overtime.
OT.
Yeah. Oh, was it was a double OT. Minutes, I didn't know.
So
I thought it was
missed
only
all
single.
But 2 minutes of the game.
Okay.
And then,
56 minutes of
the 58. Then he starts yelling at Tristan Thompson. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Freaking out, throwing a little hissy fit.
I like how Tristan Thompson didn't back down. He's still in
No, absolutely.
Yeah, he's like, yo.
Well, you've been hearing LeBron call all his teammates out all
LeBron's
year.
Like, every single time, he's like, yo, I got you paid. Why aren't you working for me?
He's like,
you reason why you want this money is,
You know, he's like, the team's got to be tougher. We got to be tougher. And you know he's not talking about himself. You know what I mean? And as a
he's
teammate.
Tough enough, you know?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he's LeBron James.
But, I mean, I'm sure there was a little bit of animosity kind of adding to that. You know, tired of being thrown under the bus every day. And, you know, he didn't back down. Like you said, I enjoyed watching it.
I feel, if you guys hear his apology, too, right after on the press conference?
Yeah.
I feel like that was kind of backhanded a little bit.
It was.
He's like, you know, I tend to show up my players on the floor, on the court a lot, you know, and I got to...
I'm so much better than them.
I got to do that behind
door,
good intentions, but they come out wrong. It's like, God,
He has a good way of, like,
but
not
he gets
coming
you,
caught.
But he gets you rings, so you're really going to complain?
Yeah, well... Can't tell that joke.
Yep, live radio. I don't know. I think the whole thing with LeBron, it's got to be such a double-edged sword being his teammate, right? I mean, you're going to win, but you're also going to have to deal with his passive-aggressive ways. And it just seems like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good analogy where you're just kind of like dating that girl who's kind of out of your league.
That was the analogy I was going to use.
I was going to say the same.
Yeah, she's kind of out of your league. She's a little bougie. She's kind of needy.
But you're lucky you're with her.
Right. Yeah. So you put up with her nagging and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what it'd be like playing with LeBron. Like, you put up with it because at the end of the day, the results are good. But the day-to-day is kind of a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, see, that's...
It's like all your friends are like, why are you with her? And you're like, you don't see, like, the good stuff.
Yeah.
There's not much of it, but it's worth it.
No, but yeah. I would say for LeBron, the same I'd say for that girlfriend is, I can't wait for you to get old. Oh, this is going to bite you someday.
I don't know. He's such a great player, but I mean, his passive aggressiveness.
He's like the king at that. Like, he's great at not making himself seem like he's that much of an ass, but he's a really big ass, I feel.
Yeah, he's just, it seems like he's constantly disagreeable. And passive aggressiveness is the one thing that will get under my skin more than anything. So I'd rather someone yell at me than kind of be passive aggressive and go talk out both sides of their mouth. But that's just me. I don't know. Anyway, LeBron James, cute girl.
Relatable.
Relatable.
Yeah, it's like the same thing.
Moving on. KD is scheduled to return, if everything goes right, for the Golden State Warriors this Saturday. And I'm just wondering what you guys think. With the Cavs sliding the way they have been, do you feel the Warriors are back in the driver's seat to be favorites going into the playoffs? TJ, let's start with you on this.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say... the next girlfriend I have, every time she starts getting arrogant or cocky, I'm like, all right, LeBron. Cool it. You're being real LeBron-y right now. But KD, I mean, KD's like, you know, the homegrown, sweet Southern Belle. We don't have to keep the analogy
going down this analogy.
Let's get a girl for every guy in the NBA and compare it.
I'm not too worried about KD coming back. I think they had their early season hiccups and getting the camaraderie down as a new teammate. But he's been there all year. He was their leading scorer, leading rebounder before he got hurt.
Yeah.
They know who he is. They know how to play together. I think it's good that he comes back and he gets three games under his belt before he hit the playoffs. But I don't anticipate any struggles for them getting him back in the mix right away.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
My question is he going to start? Like, that's what I want. Is he going to come back Saturday and start? Or are they going to work him into the lineup as a sixth man?
I would hope that they would work him back in.
Because they already
coming
have...
Coming off energy, playoffs are a couple
right,
games
and they already
away.
Have the rotation kind of dialed right now, the way those guys are playing. I mean, you see him in the Wizards last night, and it's like kind of the Wizards of... Or the Warriors, excuse me, of old. You know, they have like that... Just that...
That spark.
Just that spark, you know what I mean? So, I think it's going to be interesting to see if he even starts.
Yeah, I do too. I think what... Steve Kerr is going to be faced with a few interesting decisions as far as the lineup goes beyond KD, because David West, you saw him in that Spurs game. He came in, I mean, he played great, and you see the Warriors are much more mobile, and they spread the floor a lot better when KD's in. Zaza is pretty much useless around the basket or just on the floor in general besides for picking up fouls. JaVale McGee, unless they're up 10 to 12, is completely useless in my opinion. He's not useless. That's not a good description. He's a liability whenever he's on the floor, and unless the Warriors are up comfortably, he scares me because there's a reason he's on Shaq Dean a Fool all the time, right? Like, that's not all a figment of our imagination. I don't think Shaq's just picking on him. Like, he does stuff to get all this attention, like miss point-blank dunks, like get three fouls in 30 seconds. I mean, you know, these are JaVale things that he does from time to time that you can't really have in the playoffs. So I think what they do with David West is going to be interesting, and absolutely, do they bring KD right back into the fold as a starter? Because the Warriors starting unit has been playing great. So Steve Kerr's got a lot of decisions to make. He does get three games that are almost, at this point, exhibition games to try out different lineups before we go into the playoffs. So we'll see. And the lineups, I mean, the A seed isn't even set in stone yet.
Right, it's Memphis and Portland right now?
Portland, yeah.
Memphis and Portland, I think, about
it. Portland has it right now. Memphis is up 3.5 games, though.
Okay, so hopefully they don't fall. I don't want to see Memphis in the first round for the Warriors.
No.
That's definitely not a good look.
Memphis has been tough. I think they have us have the Warriors 2-1
right
this season on the season series, I'm pretty sure. Memphis is in the 7th seed, so hopefully they stay there. Because, I don't think the Warriors want any part of Memphis. to start the playoffs. That just doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Because no matter what, that team's gritty. Remember a couple years ago when the Warriors won the title, that Memphis had Golden State kind of on the ropes. They had Golden State down 2-1, and Golden State really had to fight back. If you remember, it was in game four. Game four, when Memphis was already up 2-1, when the Warriors really had to fight and come back, and that kind of turned the series. But that could have gone either way, so I think the Warriors will be much happier to see Portland, who likes to play a similar style of offense and doesn't like to slow the game down. So we'll see. Derek, you've been awfully quiet over there.
No,
do you care about KD coming back at all?
I mean, good on them.
Spoken like a true Laker fan.
Yeah, that was.
We're coming back, y'all. We're coming back. We're not going to be last. We're not going to be bottom of the barrel. So we're fighting for that.
Who, the Lakers?
Yeah, we're Phoenix is a.
You have half game on Phoenix.
Yeah.
For the worst record in the league.
Nice,
dude. Goals being met.
Yep.
Baby seven.
Let's go there real quick before we get to your news. Okay. What happened? We kind of had high expectations for the Lakers going into the season. We talked about it this summer. They could be fighting for an 8 seed.
I mean, we thought the same thing for a lot of teams this year. And they just kind of felt like Minnesota was a big one, too. But, I mean, they really did. They kind of disappointed me. I mean, they came out swinging, but I think it's just they don't have the depth for it. They don't have the right veteran leadership in there.
Leadership is the main thing.
Luol Deng is a nice piece, but he's not your veteran guy you need out there.
Right.
I mean, they need to figure out something with, like I said, we just need a solid like guy who's been there in the league for a few years and can get it done, you know?
Have Luke throw the jersey back on.
There we go.
Player coach, give him some leadership. For once, he'll be the best player on the team.
Nice.
That's actually not a terrible idea. Yeah. Get Luke back out there. That's a good, we should do this game, or we should play this when, this summer, just how we would fix all these teams. Hypothetical, maybe have a breakdown of the best coaches, like if we put 3-on-3 squads together. Because I think D'Antoni could still get out there, get some buckets. J. Kidd.
I'd like to see Phil Jackson get out there and try to run that triangle. Yeah. It doesn't work, Phil.
Tyronn Lue could always get stepped over again.
God.
Sorry.
So many, man, it wasn't me who got stepped over. We still won.
Never has a champion.
Okay, no championship. Sorry, AI. You can step over anyone you want. No rings. Tyronn Lue is still like, hey, I got my wing. You can look down on it. You step over me, I'm sleeping well.
You guys, have you guys heard about the big three, Ice Cubes?
Yes, I
really want to see
that. I'm excited for it.
But I'm excited about the way I was about Slam Ball. Do you guys remember Slam Ball?
Yes, absolutely.
So explain it. What is Ice Cubes three?
Thought there was actually like this thing called Ice Cube that you're talking about for a second. Now I realize
Ice Cube,
the rapper.
Ice
well, I'd, doing I'd rather explain Slam Ball, basketball with trampolines.
It's a white guy's dream right there. Finally, I'm doing it.
We're talking.
I've never done it. This is what's like.
Still missed. No, it's a big thing. It's all players over 30. They got to be over 30 and like have prior NBA experience, but it's 3-on-3. Wow. I think they're going to have 4-point shots.
Okay, yeah, I heard about
like
that.
Certain mark spots.
Yeah, but that's cool.
But, I mean, they got White Chocolate, Jay Williams coming back to play.
Wow. There we go.
Baron Davis is going to play.
Yep.
Baron's legit.
Chauncey Billups.
Allen Iverson, I think.
Allen Iverson is a player coach.
Okay. Kobe's going to play.
Yeah, there we go.
No practice.
Ever.
Coach, are we going to practice?
We're talking about practice right now.
See you at the game. Yeah. See you at the game.
I heard about Monty Jones when they were looking for a new head coach for Georgetown. Shout out to Patrick Ewing, who got that job. But they were talking about bringing AI in to be head coach there. And he was talking about how the players would love that because they're talking to Allen Iverson, like, when's practice? Practice for what?
Well, their records the last couple years, I mean, you know, doesn't look like they've been practicing much anyway. So
right.
It'd be a good fit.
Oh, man. John Thompson III. Sorry, buddy. This is Talking About Practice on FM 90.1 KZFR. Downtown Chico, California is where we're broadcasting from. People-powered radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We're going to get recalibrated here for a second, and then Derek's going to bring you news.
Oh, yeah.
Sound good? Sounds great. Let's do that.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Ah, finally. I can actually take this radio show seriously. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Performances, presenting blues legend Taj Mahal and Keb Mo on June 22nd at the Laxton Auditorium. These two Grammy winners will be performing songs from the new album Taj Mo and their classics with a powerhouse blues band. Taj Mahal and Keb Mo, June 22nd at the Laxton Auditorium. Tickets at ChicoPerformances.com. Right on, Chico Performances. Yes, the ever so popular, they're ever so newsy news.
Wow. The ever so newsy news. Yeah. All right.
I like Brady's jersey has been returned to him.
Womp, 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 womp.
Thank God. What a relief that is. Brady has the one item that will remind him of the triumph he accomplished on that day. Finally, back in his return. Bennett had a nice little comment on that.
Yeah, to sum it up, he basically said, so we still don't know who killed Tupac and Biggie, but thankfully, Brady got his jersey back.
Ah, it's important things in life, guys, that matter, okay?
Yeah, thank God we're using our government-funded FBI to get that jersey back.
I want to go to Mexico to do that, too, man. International. As we did mention before, Patrick Ewing took the head coaching job over at Georgetown, which is right on to him, man. The guy is a, from everything that's been said about him, he's a great coach, knows what he's doing, loves the game. So going back to his home roots and hopefully can get Georgetown back to the winning ways.
Yeah, Patrick Ewing's been working the bench for a while now.
He has been on so many teams, man. Yeah. He's been all over the place. Great big man, you know, he knows how to go.
Good for him, for sure.
Got to give a shout out to the Chico State baseball team right now. They are ranked number one in the nation. They got their sixth straight victory this weekend with a 9-0 win over Cal State San Marcos.
Dang.
Dude, that's pretty awesome, man. Yeah. Got to give a shout out to the Chico State baseball team. Trying to get some of the guys on here to actually talk about them, but they're busy with schedules and whatnot, and they don't respond back to me. I'm not cool enough. Jerry Jones just became the most popular owner with his vote to lighten up on Mary Jane laws and to not let things that happen outside the lines affect the players. So he wants more people. So if you do something bad outside, you know, not in the field, not in anything football related, you shouldn't be penalized by the NFL. If you get penalized outside of that, it's your own problem. But the NFL shouldn't worry about anything like that. And to you again.
Amen, brother. I will say, as much as Jerry Jones bothers me, I do not like the NFL deciding what moralities they're going to legislate.
Yeah, no, I totally...
It seems like a total overstretch of their power and authority, but anyway.
I only say that because Jerry Jones saying that is only for his personal benefit right now. I bet you he doesn't really believe it. He's just like, yo, I've got so many players on my team that are about to be gone next season, so I need to do this right now, you know?
Everybody can smoke on the Cowboys.
Cowboys,
weed for everybody.
They were all doing cocaine in the 90s, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We saw North Dallas 40 this past weekend. I finally showed it to Dro, and it's kind of a play on, like, the 70s Cowboys, and they're pill popping animals back then.
Yep. Yeah. Was it okay, I need to get my facts right before I come out and say this. But was it Charles Haley that got caught with like 294 pounds in a U-Haul when he was with the Cowboys?
Wow.
Let me look that up because that's really bad if that's inaccurate.
It's like 2.9 or something. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like, all right.
Anyway, he's looking that up right now, one last little bit
of news. The judge did another ruling on Roman Polanski, who probably won't return to the U.S. anytime right now, as he was denied avoiding any jail time upon returning to the U.S. That's what you get when you rape a 13-year-old. You don't get back into this country. Wow. You got to do some jail time.
That seemed a little heavy-handed there.
I'm just saying, man. I just like to point him out.
Maybe he should have led with
He's
that.
Caught him like a seal.
There wasn't a whole lot of subtlety there.
Like I said, the newsy news, man.
That news instead of ended with that news.
Was that the end of the news?
That was the end of the news right there.
I love
there.
How he said on a brighter note.
That was brutal.
I love that.
So from that to baseball's back. How do we do this smoothly? Derek, you really put me in a tough spot there, buddy.
I think as long as we're not talking about what I just mentioned before, I think we're fine. You know?
All right, baseball's back.
Yeah, bam.
Transition. That's awesome.
Transition.
We are paid professionals here. Wait, no, we're not paid. And
professional is
a loose term. It's a very loose term around here, especially today.
Yeah, oh, I was like, Mad Bum's back in big fashion.
Mad Bum's dropping mad bombs, bro.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, two home runs yesterday. The most
Andy lost.
Yeah, calm down, Dodger fan.
Yeah, there's still 161 left to go, bro.
I'm just saying, man. Let's set the tone for the whole season.
You're going to be insufferable if you're going to be like this on day one.
I guess I have to do Dodger fans.
As of day two, they are in last place. I'd just like to point that out.
But as of day two, Madison Bumgarner leads the entire major leagues in home runs.
Give it a week.
Well, it's one day, obviously. All right. He's a pitcher. He won't pitch for another week.
Exactly. He won't be.
Somebody else will hit two more.
I just want to see him. I just want to see him in a home run derby. Finally,
I think that should be allowed. Definitely. When Jake Arrieta came back, did you see those home runs? Yeah, I did. They were
those
legit.
Home runs were monsters.
When Jake Arrieta came out and said he wanted to do it last year, that totally ruined Mad Bum's case. I feel I was like, yo, Mad Bum actually has a shot to do this, and he should.
Right, Arrieta is a decent hitter for a pitcher, but I feel
only
like
one pitcher should be allowed in there.
Yeah, Bumgarner is.
I think. What do you mean, just one?
I
mean,
No. I'm sorry. I don't need to see Jake Arrieta.
Well, I agree, but I mean, you know, if they can hit bombs and let them in, whoever it is, if they're baseball players, if they can hit a bomb, I don't understand why they're not allowing pitchers. You know what I mean? If the dude can swing a bat, let him. You know?
Yeah, I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah,
I think it would actually bring a lot of excitement to have a pitcher like Mad Bum in the home run derby, bring a little spice to it. You know? Yeah. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Keep it spicy, not too spicy. You know? Yeah. He's spice enough, is what I'm trying to say. Mad Bum is.
Can you get like a slow pitch softball for the other pitchers?
Newsy news over here.
Oh, man. I want a quick apology to Charles Haley. It was not him transporting 294 pounds.
I hope Charles Haley's somewhere out there. He's tuned into 97.1 right now.
I want to apologize to him and his family. It was Nate Newton, which makes a lot more sense.
Who was it again?
Nate Newton.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Don't say that, oh, yeah, like you knew that. You didn't know that. It's just like, oh, yeah. No, I didn't know that.
No. Old Newt.
Yeah, dude. That Newt man.
And it was 213 pounds at a traffic stop in Louisiana. So, back to baseball. It's back.
Yeah, it is.
And I just wanted to talk about this. So we were discussing earlier, opening day, I feel like when I was younger, and maybe this is just being nostalgic and older and thinking everything was better back in my day. But I feel like opening day used to be a bigger deal. I feel like, you know, there's kind of more of an anticipation. And I think baseball did well to bring it back on a Sunday this year and not have, you know, the former world champs over in Japan like a week early like they did last year. But I don't know. Any thoughts on that? No, because you guys are all kind of staring at me.
I feel like the big franchises, they do, like the Yankees, they do those kind of opening day ceremonies for, but you don't really see those big festivities like you used to as a kid, you know, going to the ballpark hours early and seeing the BP and all the different festivities they hold just the ballpark, not even on TV, just the ballpark itself. So I don't know. I think they're kind of looking for more revenue. I would assume it's a business, so I would assume they're just trying to get more revenue out of it and getting less.
I mean, they kind of like split up the opening day too. It's like we open today, but only a couple teams play. Everyone plays yesterday, but those teams that played yesterday, they're not playing today. So it's like opening day for these people, not those people. But they have all one opening day. Everyone's playing on one day. Just make a grand big thing of it. Like, yo, baseball is back. Because let's face it, baseball pretty much means summer's right around the corner. It means you're outside. It means you're having a beer. You got a hot dog. Got some peanuts. Good times are coming. Play on that. You know, let us all. Yeah.
I don't know that it's less. I mean, I imagine if I was at the field, you know, out at the ballpark, I'm sure it's a blast.
Well, it's always a different feel.
Yeah, I'm saying like I don't. Why,
maybe know, there's less those, hoopla on TV now, and that's because there's so much other clutter on TV, and like you know, we constantly have you know all this. It's 24 hour news cycle now. But yeah. Like you said, back in the day, I think there was a little anticipation.
Yeah,
you know, maybe we are being a little nostalgic, but it felt like I don't know. There was a little more anticipation and a bigger payoff.
Right,
and now it's just you know we got that 24 hour news cycle.
Yeah.
Where I think everything gets like watered down a little bit.
I agree, and we feed, you know, we have this like insatiable thirst for content and new. Baseball is a methodic, slower paced game, so I think it's difficult to drum up that interest in younger people. But I do think by doing something where you have every team play on opening day, you do it on a Sunday when you're not going up against, you know, the Final Four or something like that, and you just kind of dedicate a day to baseball, yeah, would be a good way to kind of, you know, ring it in. People would have barbecues. People are going to come out to the game. You know, I don't know. I just think that baseball could do a little bit more to promote itself, because I think baseball does have an obvious problem as its fan base is getting older and not younger. And I think they could do things. And part of the reason, I believe, is that we're living in this age where we need so much content, so much stimuli, you know, bigger, faster, quicker. But I think baseball can take advantage of that and be almost the counter towards that, you know. Come to the park, take a day off, put your phone away,
relax,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think baseball, if they try to market themselves that way, you have opening day on a Sunday where people could get together, have barbecues.
Well, and play on that nostalgia.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that nostalgia could end up actually being cool to kids.
Yeah. With all these hipsters nowadays. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Yeah. All these hipsters will be drinking PBRs.
Make baseball great again.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. Baseball great again. We have so many ideas for them right now. Come on, MLB.
Yeah, some executive call our office right yeah. now.
I like where you guys were going with that.
Yeah. Everyone plays yeah. on one day.
Have a,
wow.
have a Birkenstock and handlebar mustache day.
I really like that. I think we should start coming up with like different theme days. Because they always have like Filipino heritage, or, you know, these various, you know, superhero day, Star Wars day, you know, Grateful Dead day at the park. It would be great if we started going like way, way left and like Birkenstocks day. That'd be
yeah,
tight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. First 1,000 fans get a free pair of Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
Like, sign me up. Need some new
Birkies. I want something to throw on the field, man. It'd be perfect for that.
Yeah, I always went. I feel like I always went on just the crappiest days. You know, I never went to a game on mini bat day. I always went.
I was so mad. I never got a mini bat.
Parka day or something. You know what I mean?
I don't think they give away. I know the Giants don't give away mini bats anymore because
really?
That became a problem.
Yeah, I could see that.
Something thrown in the field. Yeah,
no. It became a bit of a liability after the games. That's another story.
I still like Birkenstock Berkey Day, man. We gotta
get that alive.
Yeah.
Well, let's get a GoFundMe started for
Birkenstock
this. Yes. But I am looking forward to the baseball season. Like you said, Derek, baseball season always represents summer is not too far off.
Yeah.
So that's always a good time around here, especially in Chico, even though it's hot as hell. But it's just a nice slow pace of life coming, and we can all feel it. You can taste it. Swimming pools, barbecues.
I can't wait to be going to games, man.
Is it the Outlaws now?
The Chico Heat.
Chico Heat.
Yeah.
They won the championship last year. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, well, when do they start up? Like, that's like more
that's
of a summer league,
that's
right?
Summer. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like what they do is they take like players from colleges.
Gotcha.
That coaches trying to get better.
Because I mean, even if you can't make it down to the Bay or whatever and catch an A's game or a Giants game. Baseball's fun, man. Yeah. I'll go sit there for 9 innings, chew some seeds.
Yeah.
I like heckling the players.
And not to mention, like you said, as long as you don't charge me more than $5 for my seat, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know? Give me some cheap
beers. Give me a hot dog, cheap beer.
Yeah. We can go to an A's game, that's for sure, for $5.
Yeah, yeah, dude. A's games are great.
Four if you got a Pepsi can. It's $1
That's a great call, actually. There in Six Flags, you get a discount.
Boom.
Yeah.
And the Santa Cruz Beach.
Wait, do you still really get that? Like up here, you get a discount with your Pepsi can or Coke can?
Yeah. Wow.
That's the last time you had a can of Pepsi, man.
And the Dodgers are just down there gouging you.
Yeah. I'm drinking all that Pepsi for nothing.
Or my convenience store is selling me old Pepsi cans. We haven't honored this in like 3 years, dude.
But I still have the can. Come on, man. We said.
That's good stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Baseball. Oh, speaking of baseball,
you need to get into that.
I want to get into this real quick. So there was an article that you just sent me a little bit ago. Maybe you can kind of intro this better than I can, but a minor leaguer comes out and he's talking about the difficulties in pursuing his dreams in the minor league. Specifically, and I'll be honest, I didn't read much of it. I skimmed through the whole thing, but I didn't read it like line for line.
Yeah, no. Once I kind of got was, I kind of like just kind of blew it over, like, oh, you're just kind of being a little bit ridiculous, I feel. Because his whole claim was, as a minor leaguer, you kind of put through the ringer when you try to chase your baseball dreams, and you're only making like $11,500 a year to do this, you know? And you can't live on that whatsoever.
No.
Which, again, when you're talking about it, you're pursuing your dream and you're actually telling me, yo, man, I'm just trying to pursue my dream. You just pay me a ton of money so I can live on trying to pursue my dream.
Right.
You're minor leaguer, man. No one goes to those games. I'm sorry. The people that do go to this just looking for that cheap entertainment right now. They're not paying big bucks for you. The kind of the kids might enjoy the games, like you might look up to you, but once they start going to the major leagues, like, okay, that's the real deal. You know, so you're working your way on your dream. You shouldn't. Like I said, if you're trying to like be a DJ, and like, yeah, I'm just trying to work on my dream of being a DJ. Can you just pay me so I can live on that?
Right.
Let me get there. You know, I'll get there, but just keep paying me money. Well, but I'll, you know, it's like
this guy's unhappy. It sounds like he should have pursued a degree.
Exactly. You know that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a game. You're playing. We have this very mentality of that.
Woe is me. Yeah. I'm chasing my dream. I get to play a game.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We have pretty much every kid nowadays, their dream is to become a superstar athlete. And that's like a hoop dream. It's impossible. It's like how many people who actually play a sport actually become professional athletes of it is a fraction. So you're setting yourself up really for failure ultimately. And I don't want to like crush people's dreams. It's like, oh no. People really need to get crushed their dreams every once in a while to turn into reality. Okay?
Grumpy Derek.
If anybody out there is listening to this and dreams of being a professional athlete, you won't.
Yes.
So
I mean, yes.
Stay in school, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
The chances are very slim, but I think to Derek's greater point, I mean, when you choose, look, it's a free market. You know, this is America. It's a free market. When you choose to do something where you're the percent chance of you actually accomplishing that dream is so low, it's hard to then have empathy and expect, you know, I mean, yes, in a perfect world, TJ, you'd be getting paid millions of dollars to just work on being a comedian. You know, we would be getting paid millions of dollars just to be able to sit here and talk on the radio. But that's not how things work. You have to pay your dues. And at some point, many people get to a crossroads in life where they have to make a decision. Do I want to go take a 9-to-5 and support my family, support myself, and, you know, kind of go that direction? Or do I want to, you know, continue to chase this dream? And it's, you know, again, in perfect utopian society, we could all just pursue what we wanted, the things we were interested in, and make a living and just do that. But unfortunately, that's not how our society is set up. And so as I was reading through it, the same thing kind of happened to you. As I started getting into it, I feel a certain level of empathy. Like, yeah, that's rough, man. You're on the road all the time. You know, you're really giving up a lot to play this game. But at the same time, you live in a society where you're free to decide to play that game for a living. You could go do something else. I don't know what his circumstances are, but I know if he's an American, so it's not like he's Cuban, you know, fighting oppression, trying to get out of the country. This is his one chance to not be in poverty. Yeah. So it just makes it a little difficult for me to have all this empathy, you know, on this kid when it's like, yo, you could just like go into sales, bro. Sales are always hiring. You know what I mean? Like,
there's money out there. Like, you can get a job.
You
can
go get a degree. You know, there's other things you can do, you know, and so
go hit the cages instead of whining to a reporter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to get out of the minor leagues.
Go
work on that curveball, buddy. Like, stop talking to me.
You want to get out of 11,000 bracket? Start throwing, man. Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
Do what every other minor league does and start taking some Balco or something. You know?
There you go. That was good.
No, I think that's a reasonable debate to have. I don't know.
His whole point was like, oh, these, you know, teams are making billions of dollars. Why can't I get some of that? It's like, well, you're not really making them any money, though. You're just kind of a prospect that's could possibly, but you haven't done anything for them yet. They could cut you at any point in time. You're really expendable, man, and you're just causing yourself more trouble by just bringing this up. I want more money. Okay, I got another guy. I'll take your place. And, you know.
Yeah, it's hard with looking at to separate all the different sports. You see the NBA getting their huge TV contracts and all the, you know, buku bucks that those guys are getting. But you look at MLB organizations, you know, they have their major league team, their AAA, their AA, their single A. They have, you know, they essentially have, you know, 150 guys that they're paying for. So when it gets down to the single A, double A guys, yeah, I'm not going to pay you $1 million. I got to pay, you know, this guy 40 a year. Yeah. Why am I, you know, it's that chasing that dream comes into, that's where they're, it's almost where they're playing, the company is going to be playing off of you. You know, you're chasing this dream to hopefully get to this point one day.
Right.
So you're going to take a smaller cut just because of that hope to maybe get that crapshoot, you know, third baseman gig in the majors, you know, or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, but this is called life, son. You know, like it's just, these are the decisions you've made. You know, again, this is a free market. You live in a free society where you're where it's okay to go ahead and pursue dreams like that. But also you got to deal with the consequences, you know, and in life, yeah. You never get what you deserve as far as financially, just what you have the leverage to negotiate. Life is all a negotiation, yeah. You know, and if you don't have that leverage, if you were good enough and you had the right connections, guess what? He wouldn't be in this situation because he would be Mike Trout. You know, he would be a Bryce Harper. He'd be one of these, you know, young superstars in the game. But maybe he wasn't born with those gifts. And this is just a life lesson, yeah. Bro. You know, maybe this is the way it's going to be.
I don't recall anybody ever saying it would be easy. Like, I don't know what he was expecting.
No one.
This is life, buddy.
I mean, I've been told countless times, remember growing up, like, that's not fair, Dad. You know, life's not fair. Boom. That was my constant. My dad told me that every single day I feel in my life.
You got older and all those cliches started clicking.
Yeah, like, they started making sense, okay, right.
Dad knew life isn't fair. Yeah.
They don't really care about.
I thought that was just something my mom used to say.
Right. No, but that's a great point. I mean, you know, when you are young, you're impressionable. You think, like, you know, I could just be an astronaut, you know, and I should just be able to be an astronaut because it's what I want to do. And as you get older, you realize all the sacrifices that people have to make to get to where they want. Like, when I was just graduating high school, I was like, okay, I have a chance to go play overseas. Blew out my knee. Okay, that's not going to happen. Maybe I could just be an investment banker and make a bunch of money. And then I was like, oh, you have to go to like a lot of school for that. You know what? There's got to be other ways. I don't need that much money. Maybe I could deal with a little less.
It sucks when you find out you wanted to be an astronaut, but you needed to be start preparing at like 13 for that, you know, and you're like 18. You're like, oh, well, really? I guess I can go bag groceries somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That was like still currently my backup.
I'm going to be a comedian or astronaut, happens first, know. You know.
But I think, options pending.
I think there's an interesting discussion to be had there where I think every young person reaches a point where you kind of begin to see a direction, the way your life's kind of unfolding, and you realize, like, look, if I really want, you know, this end result, then there's a lot of sacrifices I'm going to have to make along the way, unless you're a trust fund baby, and then everything's a lot easier. But for most people, look, it's just hard to have empathy if you chose the route to be, I want to take this shot that is a one in a million shot, and you got to live with that, you know? And so again, it's life, son.
Yeah. That's a lesson for today, people.
Life. It's all right. Fair. Well, enough life lessons. Derek, you want to talk about things that bother you?
Oh, dude, you know I do.
This is everyone's favorite time of the week where Derek complains about things
Derek.
Unreasonably because, oh, whoa, he has a pretty good life here. But things just seem to irk you, don't they, Derek?
They do. They really do.
All right, there we go. Got you some theme music. You want me to tee this up for you?
Go for it, please.
You know what really grinds my gears?
People that have the audacity to take both the armrests when you have to share one. Like, when you're at a TV, like a movie theater or an airplane or something like that, and someone's like, boom, plops down, like, yo, man, why did you say the middle seat is yours? Come on. There's got to be, I mean, I get on a plane, like, the middle seat sucks, so maybe getting both armrests kind of fits in there, but I'm not a middle seat guy. I always get on my plane early and make sure I get my aisle so I have at least one free side. But if you're going to take both armrests, we're sharing one, you, sir, you grind my gears. It annoys me. TJ, you
upset me so much. Because, like, I've never, like, until now, like, I had never considered that.
Yeah.
I don't, there's these monsters out there.
Trust me, man.
Oh, my God.
They're all over. There's more to come.
There's a formula.
What are you doing?
There's a formula for that, though. You know, if you get the aisle seat, you get the aisle and an armrest. If you get the middle seat, you get both armrests.
Okay, that's like on a plane.
Get the window, you get one armrest in the window.
You get the plane. That's only on a plane. Everywhere else, that doesn't come into play. Like a Touché. Baseball game.
What if I buy two Cokes at the movies? Like, I'm like, hey, man, I need these. Right?
Go for it, man. See what happens. It's probably a foolproof plan. I don't want this Cokes on there. Yeah. Yes. Okay. You know what else really grinds my gear, guys? I was watching baseball today. The strike zone that they have on the TV, it is so annoying to me.
Have you seen this new strike zone?
Have you seen it? ESPN has a permanent strike zone whenever they're playing. So it's like the box is in there.
You can blame video games for that.
Yeah, you know, Derek and I were actually talking about this earlier. It is frustrating because, one, it's going to make the umps look terrible. Because now we're all going to be able to see in real time when they make a terrible call. And I think for most people who watch baseball on a regular basis, you could kind of, you have a better idea.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, your average Joe who watches, you know, 15 games a year is going to be able to yell at the refs, the umps, that, you know, that ball was outside, or that was a ball, or that was a strike. And it just, they're setting their umps up for failure, man. I think it's a terrible idea.
You get rid of it, ESPN. I get it for, like, when you want to show where a pitch landed, like in a replay. I'm fine with that. But I have it there all the time. It's distracting. It really is.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah. Okay. You know what else really grinds my gear, guys? When you pick the wrong car to go behind at a stoplight, like you see a car that looks pretty fast, like, okay, all right, I'm going to pick this one to go behind. And the one next to it takes off. This is like, nah, and you're like, no. Nah. You just feel like you chose Wong. You're like, nope, you did not choose wisely. You're just like melting away from like Indiana Jones the Last Crusades at that point, you know? I can't drive anymore, so just careful where you looks to me deceiving, guys. That's all I can say.
Gear grinded.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
Last one I'm going to do for you guys right now because I mean, I have a lot more, but I'm just going to keep the hatred down a little bit. People that don't put the shopping cart away when you're at a grocery store. You know, when you don't do that, you just like leave it in your parking spot. Are you one of those people?
I am too.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're just gonna leave it in the park.
Like, I don't leave it in the parking spot. I put the two front wheels up into the dirt.
Yeah. Oh, you make it. Oh.
I'm considerate. I want you to be able to still park in that space, but I want you to be real sketchy at the.
You're
front
just
of your
lazy
bumper.
As hell and don't want to take it the extra 10 feet.
Or maybe I'm really considerate and I want you to have a shopping cart right as you get out of your car.
Yeah.
That's what they're up at the front for.
Well, it's all, like, it's always a squeaky wheel, though.
I do take them back to those little aisles you got to put them in because that's as. Being about 30, I still get a running start and ride. I put my feet up on the cart. I still take rides, man.
Yeah, no, I was like, there we go. Make a game out of it, guys.
Exactly.
Just return your shopping carts. This is annoying when you got to go find a parking spot and there's a shopping cart in there.
Sorry.
It's just, it's especially when it's like John slightly Dude. Lifted up onto the curb.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
We're going to catch John Dude one of these days.
Now you know.
Exactly. Every time I see one around town now, I'm going to think of you. John strikes again.
I don't even go shopping. He's just going to grab a car. I just got to stop my Safeway real quick.
I got to see. I just got to get Derek right now. You know?
Just got to grab a car.
Oh, God. So in review, real quick, what are the things that were grinding your gears?
Grinds your gears. People that have the audacity to take both the armrests.
Mm-hmm.
When you pick the wrong car to go behind at a stop sign.
Yep.
Obviously... We just talked about this right now. The shopping carts, not putting that away. That was all of them, right?
In the strike zone.
Oh, in the strike zone on TV, yes.
Oh, strike zone on TV.
Yeah. So.
Well, thanks for that.
Yeah, of course, guys. There's always more. There's more coming. I always got more stuff. It just irks me, man.
So excited.
I'm going to be a two-person armrest going forward. I'm just going to be one of those
Boom,
guys.
I need
some people just like to watch the world burn. You know?
You're a monster.
Well, speaking of that, TJ, where can people find you? Like I mentioned earlier, you are a local comedian.
Let's do some shameless self-promotion. Right
yeah,
now.
Let's get it in. You got 3 minutes to talk about yourself. Let's go, buddy.
Don't tempt me. We do it every Monday at the Maltese.
Ooh, tonight. Are you going to leave from here and go?
I'm going to head there tonight.
It's like at 9, right?
9 o'clock. Yeah. If anybody's interested, these are typically open mics on Mondays. You can show up. Sign up start at 8. Show starts at 9.
If you have a dream, guys, of being a comedian.
And you want to pursue it for a lot less than $11,000. So, yeah, I'll be there tonight for open mic at the Maltese. Wednesday, I have another professional show we've been using that term.
Yeah, exactly. Go for it. Take it. It's yours.
It's not an open mic, but Wednesday night we have a show at the Maltese. I believe that starts at 8 o'clock as well.
Okay.
This Friday I was going to have a show. I unfortunately got scheduled with my day job that does pay the bills, so I'm not going to make it Friday. But Friday night at Shenanigans on the north end of town, there's going to be a nice comedy show. And then Saturday, the 8th, I will be in the Comedy Revolution here in Chico, which it's our third annual comedy festival.
Yeah.
We got 50 of the best comedians coming from L.A., San Francisco, here in Chico.
Right on, man.
Yeah, we got, I think it's, you know, something like 7 or 8 different venues going on simultaneously.
Where is that going to be? That's going to be all around town.
All around town. Duffy's, B Street. I'll be over at Has-Beens hosting or helping out in the green room, something like that.
And there's a green room at Has-Beens?
Well, you know, we'll tape off a corner.
Yo, guys, can't see you in here right now. Just pretend everything is... Yeah. You know.
And then they do a show at the Big Room at Sierra Nevada, which is always fun. And then late night, after the festival kind of ends around 10, we do a wrap-up kind of late night show at the Blue Room around 11. So Saturday is going to be an awesome time. Comedy Revolution, April 8th.
Where can people find out more information?
Get on Facebook, and there's always the Chico Comedy Scene on Facebook as a group you can look up. Okay. All the show times and dates get posted on there.
Okay.
Any questions you have about locating a show, or you know, if you want to get involved, hop on the Chico Comedy Scene on Facebook. But yeah, it'd be awesome. It's beautiful weather. It'd be a nice night to come out tonight if anybody's interested. Like I said, Maltese show starts at 9. It's a free show. And then I'm really excited about Wednesday's show at the Maltese as well. That's going to be a fun time.
A professional show, right?
A professional show.
Yeah. You have to pay to get into that one?
I get a free drink ticket.
There we go. Yeah. It's worth it, man.
It's worth it. Wednesday, I believe, it is somewhere between $5 and $8.
Okay. All right.
Awesome.
Well, TJ, thank you, sir. Yeah, no, totally. And people can follow you where? Where can they find you?
Facebook, TJ Hudson. What's the other one? What is it? Instagram.
Yeah.
At TJ Hudson Comedy.
Nice.
And I have a Twitter, but I don't tweet, you know. I don't remember what it is.